Everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Fashion Analyst Podcast. I am your host, Gigi Halisi. I'm so grateful that you guys are stopping by today to listen to part two of the Business of Blogging series that I did with Koi, aka Gent Within. Firstly, before we get into the meat and potatoes of this final episode, I just want to thank everyone for listening and tuning in to and also providing feedback for the previous episode of The Business of Blogging with Koi. And, you know, the love has been tremendous. I am so grateful for those who have sent emails, DMs, text messages, and just encouraged the whole series. So, or the two-part series that Koi and I decided to bring. Well, actually, I can't even take credit for that. Shout out to Koi, aka Gent Within. It was his idea to break this up into two episodes, and it was a genius idea. So, of course, I went with that. And yeah, so I want to again thank everyone, especially another thank you to Koi for joining me for this journey of the business of blogging. And without further ado, let's get into this part two. Really quickly, before I forget, I do want to point out the fact that we were having some technical difficulties with this podcast recording. So the more specifically with the audio. So I do sound a bit different. My voice sounds a little deeper. But, you know, all of the information is still there. The person that you really want to focus on is Koi with his information, and he sounds clear as day. So I just wanted to throw that out there just in case the episode starts playing and you're like, who is that doing the questioning? It's me. I just sound crazy, but it's all good. It is all good. Also, before we get started, I'm going to pay some bills by playing a commercial real quick, and then we're going to get into the juicy stuff.
So what are some things that have worked for you that you feel comfortable sharing with the listeners?
Yeah, definitely. I have a lot of this. Yeah, I do have a
listen,
lot.
Take
this is
your
the meat and potatoes
time.
Right here. Like, this is the meat, but this is what people came here for.
That's it.
Yeah, but I do have like some juicy stuff. Like, this is like some of my best tips and strategies.
Yeah.
For monetizing your work, especially if you're getting started as a style blogger. Like, if you're new to the game and you want to know, like, what's my path to profit here? These are some of the things that I feel like any blogger can start today. So the first thing, right, would be, this is like really the low-hanging fruit of it all. But we touched on this before. I talked about brand reviews, right? So you can actually get paid by reviewing some of your favorite brands and products that you use. Whether that's a dedicated review for a specific brand, or what I like to do is focus on like best of style guides or like buying guides. So like the best minimalist wallets for men in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
The best no-show socks, right? It could be something as small and random as that.
Right.
But these are things like people are actually searching for in Google. And
really?
Oh yeah. You'd be surprised at how many people search for best no-show socks.
You know, I was trying to refrain myself from laughing because I didn't know people like really search stuff like that. But then again, you know, I that's not something that I search for. So it's like, that's crazy. But okay.
Yeah. And so like this type of content, like the reviews they're perfect for like affiliates, right?
Right.
And so like to anyone who doesn't know what affiliates are, essentially it's basically, you're getting a commission for recommending a certain product or brand. If, like, say, someone is on your website and they click through that link and then they ultimately make a purchase within like a 30-day window, usually it's like a 30 to 15-day window, that you get a small commission. It could be anywhere from 5% to upwards of 40% for the sales driven to that website.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every brand, literally every brand has like an affiliate program, whether it's in-house or through reward style. Now, I believe they're known as Like to Know It. They've completely rebranded, but they're one of the major ones that has basically every fashion brand is on Like to Know It at this point.
Yeah.
Share a Sale, the Pepper Jam, Commission Junction. So there's an affiliate network. There's a ton of them. And so if there's any brand that you're working with, more than likely they have an affiliate program, and you can, and if it's a brand that you really enjoy and love and you want to write about it, write a brand review, then that is definitely a low-hanging fruit to potentially driving in that affiliate revenue.
That's good. I mean, I see a lot of like to know it tags on people's photos and things like that, which I'm also grateful for, because sometimes you do want to just go ahead and purchase what you see. And then also when I got into the game, ShareSell was my jam. That's the one of the ones that I used off. Sorry, I had hiccups. But that's one of the websites that I used often. But yeah, I think that's super important. And so, yeah. So when it comes to advice on outsourcing and delegation, what do you do? I know this is something that you're still kind of working through and trying to figure out. But as far as what you've learned, do you have anything that you would care to share, or is it still a trial and error type of thing?
Definitely. I'm actually I've been slowly getting in. I've been slowly outsourcing and delegating some work over the past couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually have a couple more things for the monetization.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
do Listen. A quick bookmark here and then rewind.
Let's do it. No, let's pause. Let's pause the outsourcing and delegation situation. Let's rewind, awesome. Like you said, to the monetization. Because please, I don't want to rush you.
No worries.
This is juicy information. And I didn't know if you were done giving us all your tips and secrets.
That's my fault. I need to be more, I need to keep going if I want to keep talking.
No, it's
I'm giving you signals where it's done, so you can move
it's
on.
It's fine. No, I'm just I don't want you to feel like you have to keep going on if you don't have anything to go on about.
Yeah.
So, no worries.
Right. So I got two more big things. So the first being affiliates. The first being affiliates. And then so the second one, I would say for bloggers in the game just starting out, I'd say to focus on creating this specific type of content. And so I'm sure everyone's heard of evergreen content, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like content that's pretty much everlasting, gonna be as relevant today as it is 10 years from now.
That's
content how-tos, mm-hmm. in-depth style guides like on classic articles of clothing like the navy blazer or
listen, because that's timeless.
Yeah,
the navy blazer, right. For sure.
Or how to wear a denim jacket or how to wear a black leather jacket, stuff like that. People are always looking for that type of stuff. But it's this type of informational content is going to start to rank in Google over long periods of times. And so it's going to slowly but surely, it's going to drive traffic to your website. And with more eyeballs, more traffic, it's going to grow your ad revenue at the end of the day. And so the second era of monetization after affiliates is to focus on ad revenue.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. And what I mean by that is everyone knows Google AdSense, right? So
mm-hmm.
when I was starting out blogging, I would place AdSense ads on my site and I was getting no traffic at the time, so it wasn't really paying off. But I realized AdSense, they don't actually pay that well either.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's AdSense with YouTube as well, which I believe they pay better, a little bit better on YouTube, at least from my experience.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, little did I know, there are other ad networks out there that are willing to pay a premium for high quality traffic. So traffic from the United States, traffic from the UK, Canada, from markets that have money, right?
Mm-hmm. So
if you can get enough eyeballs on your website, then these ad networks, so the one that I'm on for Gentleman Within is called Mediavine.
Okay.
And they pay some really good RPMs for all the traffic that I'm bringing in. And there are different ad networks for different levels of traffic that you have to your website. There's some for smaller traffic. So say, for example, you get like 10 to 50,000 page views a month, then there's a network for that. If you get like 50,000 to like 75,000, there's a network for that. And if you get over 100,000 plus, there's an ad network for that, which I believe the most premium one that a lot of bloggers are on is AdThrive. But once I learned about these ad networks, I was like, man, there's a lot of money in paid ads online. And so that's why I'm saying it's important to focus on that content, the evergreen content that people are actively searching for on Google. And this is how you're going to start ranking over time. And so do some keyword research into what people are searching for in fashion. So go to like Google Trends and search in. It could be any topic you want, but pretty much about anything that you're passionate about. But I believe evergreen content for sure is definitely a key to growing that ad revenue.
No, I couldn't agree.
It's a little boring and dry, but it's definitely a very lucrative thing once you realize how much money there is in paid advertising.
Yeah.
Another big one I feel that a lot of bloggers and style bloggers specifically can take advantage of is to create an email list. Like, I know people do have email lists, but it might not be the one. It might just be like sending out an update whenever you have like an article, like a new published post or something. So the type of email list I'm talking about is to slowly curate like a list over time. So you're offering things like an opt-in or a lead magnet to grow that email list. So an example that I have is when you first land on my website, it's the first thing that shows up. It's called A Crash Course to Better Style.
Oh, yeah. It's
a 13-day crash course. So basically, 2 weeks, I send a single email every single day with a lesson. Basically, helps them with, it's a crash course, so it's very like bite-sized type of information. But this has been great for driving leads to my website. And people who go through the entire 2 week course, I noticed they're a lot more engaged. And so they engage with my emails and they open every single one that I send. And so it's kind of like,
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So it's like just trying to add as much value as you can with every email, whether it's posting your content or if you have like a style tip or if you have like style deals that you want to share. And I feel like if you just keep adding that value through the email list over time, that people are going to be glad to buy from you when you also do have some type of product that you're going to sell. And so like for me, I survey my audience every year at the end of the year.
Do you?
I do. Yeah. So I send them a Google form, very simple, maybe like 5 questions. I ask them their name, their age, where they're from, how they learned about my website, or where, like how long they've been following along with the email list. And I ask them questions like, what type of content do they want to see? And it's like multiple choice. So I have a list of things like, do you want to see vlogs or more of like how to's, more lookbooks and things like that. So this definitely gets me into the mind of my audience. I also ask them, would you be interested in potentially, you know, buying GW branded product in the future? And so to see if like that's something they're interested in. And now I know that ultimately when I do have product that they're be willing to buy from me.
Yeah. I mean, that's so good. You know, the fact that you engage your audience or at least your email list once a year to see kind of like what they're into, to make sure they're still in tune with what you're delivering for them, you know, because there's nothing worse than putting in a whole lot of work for, you know, people who don't appreciate it or don't want to see it or anything like that. So I really like that aspect of what you do.
Yeah. And I do the same thing like on Instagram every now and then as well. I just do polls and things, just a pulse on how, like where their headspace is at and how I can best serve them ultimately.
Nice. I love that. I love it. I think that is something that I need probably to incorporate more because I don't do that at all. Just to be completely honest, I don't. So I don't know what my audience wishes to see. Now, let me just clarify. So yes, I have the fashion analyst, but I also have another, I have another profile on Instagram and YouTube blog that I kind of do that surrounds food. And so for the food aspect of everything, I do ask people kind of like, what do you want to see more of? Which is different because I'm used to like with the fashion stuff, people are like, oh, I want to see you. I want to see what you're wearing. I want to see what you're doing. I want to vlog. And then on the food side of things, people are like, I don't care what you look like, ma'am. I just want to know where you're eating, what you're cooking, like that type of thing. So I find that difference really, really funny and intriguing.
In the end, pretty much, when it comes to monetization, so we talked about affiliates, that's like the low-hanging fruit, writing brand reviews and things like that. And then it's the ad revenue approach. So writing like evergreen content, informational content that is going to rank over time to get those eyeballs to your website. And then third is focusing on an email list and building up a group of just dedicated followers, pretty much. Because I noticed those who follow your emails are way more engaged than those who follow you on Instagram or any social media platform. Except maybe YouTube, because YouTube like subscribers are very engaged as well. But I feel like in the end, ultimately, like you don't want to like put all your eggs in one basket, just like investing in the stock market, like you're going to want to diversify your assets. So in the influencer game, I think it's important to think bigger than just being on Instagram or a TikTok influencer and focus, you know, like think of yourself as a media company. Mm-hmm. So like you could tap into multiple income streams. So you got like the ad revenue, the affiliate sales, brand sponsorships, digital products like ebooks or e-courses. And then you got merchandise like apparel and accessories that you can branch off into. So there's so many avenues to explore monetization. And it's like, you don't want to just focus on one area that's not really driving you the ROI that you might want, you know?
Yeah.
Because I see too many people focusing on just one thing or spending too much time on Instagram posting videos and pictures. I like that's great, but I feel like there's so much more to being a style blogger.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. I agree with that, actually, because it is deeper than just posting a picture or posting a video on Instagram. Like you have to have like a consistent group that you can kind of like rely on or else within a flop, because Instagram is, social media in general is just very hot and cold, very flip floppy. You never know. Somebody might like you one day, they might not like you the next. So I really like what you said about having an email group, like a core group that you can kind of engage with on a regular, or people who are super invested in what you're doing, and just seek to engage more of what you have going on. So
yeah,
I like that a lot.
Awesome. And now take it away.
And now we're gonna move on to the next. Boy, you're one of my favorite guests.
What time is it now? So funny.
You're hilarious. Okay, so I'm just gonna let you take the reels for this, because you already know what I'm gonna ask.
Yes.
So I'm just gonna let you do your thing.
Great. Sure. So yeah, in terms of advice on outsourcing and delegation, so this is kind of where I'm at the stage of my business. Like, I found that I've become the bottleneck in the business. So everything comes through me, and there's only so much that I can do at this point. But if I do want to take, like, Gentleman Within to the next level, it's like I need to start hiring out. And so whether that's getting a VA, which I've yet to do, but I know that there's a lot of places, like, you find VAs on Upwork who are affordable, who are, like, maybe in another country, like the Philippines.
So wait, pause. I'm sorry. Yeah. Let's put a second there. What is a VA?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a VA is a virtual assistant.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to basically be tasked with doing the smaller trivial things that, like, you do in your day-to-day.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not really, it's way below your pay grade. So like updating old affiliate links on a blog post or YouTube videos, or like editing my articles, or just little housekeeping things like on social media and things like that. That a virtual assistant, you could pay them hourly, or you can pay them based on like, put them on a retainer if you can afford that.
Right.
But yeah, ultimately, it's going to allow you to focus on, like, the macro, the bigger picture, while they handle, like, the more tedious things that you do in the day-to-day. Because sometimes I find myself doing things where I could be making better use of my time. So
Right. Oh, yeah. All right, fancy. I love that. I love that for you.
Yeah, so that would be a next step kind of thing. And I feel like anyone can benefit from having a virtual assistant as well. Another area is to bring on paid contributors, like freelancers, to help write for the website. And this is an area where I've been on Upwork recently, and I've been hiring.
Mm-hmm.
So this is definitely, it takes a lot of work, because I need to have, like, outlines of the articles for them and offer guidance. But I think that as long as I can, if I can get, like, a small group of regular contributors, that could definitely help with the blog and everything. And in addition to Upwork, I reached out to my audience via the email list as well, and I've had a handful reach back and say they would be interested in contributing in like, under different topics, not just like fashion and style, because I'm looking to break off into, like, other areas, like lifestyle topics and grooming and fitness and travel. So I'm looking for other contributors. So I feel like bringing on paid contributors could help if you're a blogger and you're looking to free up your time, because I know how much time goes into writing articles. It could take up days.
Facts.
Writing, and you could be, like, staring at a blank page for the longest time. So
yeah. Oh my goodness. I mean, I'm saying, oh my goodness, but it's like, people don't understand how much work goes into running a blog or running a business. And just this time with you has helped put a lot of things into perspective. So do you also, like, take days for yourself, or are you just kind of like a non-stop working type of person?
I go through phases where, like, I go really hard, and sometimes I'll burn myself out and then take a break. That's something I need to work on. Like, that's just me personally. I need a more, like, I guess, consistent routine. But yeah, for me, it's like, go hard, and then, like, I'll burn out or slowly fall off the boat, as they say.
So what do you do to kind of, like, keep your head in the game and not get too overwhelmed? Because it is a lot of times people, myself included, you know, once COVID hit and there were no events and there were no, like, businesses that were really trying to work with people because of COVID and the spread of it, I was like, listen, I'm stressed out. There's nothing for me to do. they're like, I'm scared to order from brands because I don't know who's working in the companies. I don't know who's delivering my packages. We didn't have enough information at the time to know how, like, you know, COVID worked and stuff like that. And even to this day, people are still a little weary of, you know, interacting with others. But that's a big part of blogging and, you know, having a business, you know, because you have to interact with other people in order to get your product and such. So, you know, for you specifically, how did you kind of like balance all of this interactions? And even with that, how did you find peace in the midst of it? How do you kind of like decompress from all the craziness of running a business and such? And if that's just too much of a loaded question, please let me know, because I can break it down into sections too.
Right. No, definitely. COVID was tough in the beginning, especially, I think, just mentally for a lot of people, and just not being able to be around other people, and especially for those who kind of thrive on being around others and social creatures. So that definitely took its toll over time. I guess there was an article that came out that said, like, everyone's languishing, or like that feeling of just blah, right? And I felt that way in my business as well. I felt it was a lot of uncertainty during that time as well.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of brands cutting the budgets, and I was like unsure of who wants to like dress up anymore. That's tough.
Mm-hmm. And,
but over time, I feel like things got a little bit better, and it just continued on business as usual. You know, we're highly adaptable.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone mm-hmm. is.
That's good. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Humans, we bounce back and we adapt very easily, you know? So it just depends on the timing. Because some people can bounce back pretty quickly. Others, it takes a little bit of time to bounce back.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we all still bounce back.
We do. Yeah. So, in our own time, some take longer than others, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do, it's like we need to develop the right habits, and ultimately it comes down to like habits and finding routines. Like there's a great book by James Clear called
mm-hmm.
Atomic Habits,
mm.
which I highly recommend. But I listen to the audiobook, but it mm-hmm. provides amazing insight and tips on how to develop habits and break cycles, and it's a great read. That I highly recommend it. But that definitely helped me in during time of COVID, and I still like refer back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Just habits are super important in how you spend your day to day, what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
other little things like just mindfulness, meditation. So I use the meditation app Calm.
Yes, I'm a fan of Calm. Yeah,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it's been great for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just all you need is like 10 days or 10 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
If that's all the time you have, and just close your eyes and yeah, just on your breath, you know?
Like, yeah, no, I feel like 10 minutes a day is not too much of a compromise from what people do on a daily. You know what I mean? Okay, I might be like telling my business a little bit too much, but I don't enjoy working out. It's not fun to me. But, you know, I told myself, I'm like, if you can at least dedicate 15 minutes to 30 minutes a day working out, which is not a lot of time, not a lot of time. Nope. And there are a lot of videos on YouTube that kind of like fit that kind of like timetable. But it's the same with like meditation. Meditation is absolutely important, period. Just having a moment of time to just focus on your well-being, your breathing, your health, your mental capacity, your mental state is worth more than 10 minutes, in my opinion. But 10 minutes at least, absolutely. I feel like everyone should absolutely do it, especially if you're in an industry that demands a lot from you, you know, like demands a lot Agreed. Of your time, demands a lot of your attention, demands just so much of your like emotions. whatever the case may be, your physical ability, 10 minutes at least is 100% necessary for you to have to yourself to just kind of like realign and reorganize what's going on inside of you. Just to kind of get a gauge of, you know, are you happy? Are you healthy? Did you eat? Did you drink water? You know, are you breathing enough? Did you like take enough time to put your feet up? You know, because people, we humans, we're very important. And I feel like a lot of times we work and work and work trying to reach an end goal. But it's like, if you're not healthy right now, you probably won't reach your end goal because you're killing yourself, doing too much. So again, I go off on tangents, but
we need that reset.
Absolutely. That reset is important
for ourselves and mm-hmm. take care of that, our well-being. And mm-hmm. I know some people can't meditate just because their mind is always, I think everyone's mind races when they first start meditating.
Absolutely.
But if you can't sit still, like maybe do a mindfulness walk or something like that. Like go out for a walk, get some air, and just like try and stay in tune with nature, you know, type of thing
can
help as well. When, if you're going through things, like listen mm-hmm. to your music or just get walking, get moving. I think that
absolutely
definitely helps when you're in that feeling of languishing.
For sure. No, like we're seeing eye to eye. I think we're definitely on the same page with that.
Yep.
You know, you bloggers out there, get some mindfulness practices into your daily routine because it's necessary.
Yes. And another thing I would say is, I know some people aren't into this, but something I personally like to do is journaling. So daily journaling.
Yes.
And so it becomes a nightly routine where I just kind of write out how the day went, you know, mm-hmm. the things that happened, things I'm grateful for, what didn't go well, and how I could be better tomorrow. Just very simple questions to answer.
Yeah.
It's like,
no, I think that's great. Yeah.
Things like that definitely help because it gives you a history of where you've been. You can go back mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. your headspace was during this specific time, and then how can I dig myself? How did I dig myself out of it? Like, what was I doing? You know, how was I feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Those little things could definitely help just to have a record of that. And over time, like you realize that the power in having a record over like the course of a year, you know, imagine mm-hmm. having all that to refer back to.
That's good. Yeah. No, I think that's awesome. I hear a lot of people journaling and deep dark secret, not really a dark secret, but a deep secret. I do want to get into journaling. I used to journal a lot in my teenage years.
Is that a diary?
Yes. I had a little diary with a lock and key and all that jazz.
That reminds me of going into my sister's room, reading her diary.
Oh, see, triggered, because I had a little diary with a lock and a key, and my brother and my sister broke into my little lock and key diary.
Oh, that was me. Yeah.
I cannot, because ever since that day, like, I remember, so I was obsessed with, like, Mary-Kate and Ashley when I was younger, and they had this
Full House, you know?
No, it wasn't Full House.
Oh, not
even when they were older, because you know, okay, a little empire situation going on.
Yeah,
I would like watch their TV shows. I would watch all of their movies. Like Mary Kate and Ashley was like, I was aspiring to be like them until I got older and realized like how they were now, and I'm like, no, I'm okay. But like I would watch. I watched this one movie that they had, and they had this really cute guy. His name was Cody. To this day, I still remember his name. His name was Cody. He was really cute. He was one of their boyfriends or whatever, and I had, like, wrote in my diary, like, oh, Cody is so cute. Oh, my gosh, I love Cody. And my brother and sister, like, broke into my diary, and they were like, oh, you love Cody so much. And it, like, scarred me low-key. From having like a diary journal situation. But now that I'm an adult, I feel like I should just let that situation go and do it again, because I really do feel like there's so much that you like release so much tension, so many thoughts, so many emotions that you need to process. And sometimes, at least for me, writing things down is a way that I can process my emotions. So I feel like having a journal, I feel like that was, you were talking to me specifically, but I hope, hope you were talking to other people.
Everyone can benefit from it.
That's right. That's right. So I'm going to go to Barnes and Noble or wherever and give me a little notebook. I have to have a cute notebook.
Yeah. Right? And it doesn't even have to be structured. Like you could just do like, I have a notebook on Evernote called Brain Dump. Mm-hmm. I just dump any thoughts that I'm having the day, like whatever I'm thinking. Like if I want to just to get it out of my brain and on paper, mm-hmm. and I just dump it. It's like people put like photo dumps on Instagram just to get. I do a brain dump. Like anytime I'm thinking about anything, it could be an idea that I have, mm-hmm. or and that helps just to clear my head.
I love that. I listen. You just said that, and I'm going to take that. And I'm going to run with it. I need that because I feel like if I don't release what I'm thinking in my brain, I'm going to go crazy. I mean, I'm not going to go crazy, but I feel like I am, you know?
Yeah.
So I know I can ramble and go off on rabbit trails. Alice in Wonderland is one of my favorite, like, Disney movies ever in life. Okay. So rabbit trails and tunnels and holes are, like, my jam. So I'm going to try to reel it back in. But I'm not going to keep you too much.
It was a good tangent. It was a good tangent.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I feel like it was a good tangent, too. But sometimes I feel like I'm alone on that. But today, at this point in time, I feel like we're together on that thought. So thank you. So do you have any parting words to those who are currently like grinding, trying to, become a blogger, become a quote unquote influencer, become a YouTuber, become an entrepreneur? Do you have any golden words, golden tips, tricks, tidbits that you feel that they should know or at least have in the back of their mind before pursuing their goals or either continuing their goals?
Right. Yeah, that's a great way to end the podcast, I think. I believe there's another section, but we'll see about that. Oh, gosh. So, to anyone who's aspiring and kind of, in the game right now, grinding away, I feel ultimately it's like that passion. Like, I'm sure whatever got you into it, mm-hmm. passion that you had, like, it has to be like burning, and it always has to be burning. Like, I know, like, sometimes we go through moments, like we talked about, like, you go through ruts and where you're not feeling it, but ultimately, passion's always got to be there, and like, you have to be having fun with it. Mm-hmm. And if you're not having fun, then it's not going to be worthwhile. So, because it's super hard running a business as a solopreneur, and that's what we are.
Like, yeah.
Doing it on our own. But I think that it's the ones that learn to trust the process, unlike the Sixers. But
first of all,
hold up, Ben Simmons, not the Sixers.
That was a good one.
Ben Simmons specifically. I decided to call him. Well,
Simmons, what it was. Listen, I ain't but
anyways but yeah, when you learn to like trust the process, the ups and downs, mm-hmm. times when you feel like it's hopeless, no one cares what you have to offer, even when the growth is slow and you feel like you're not seeing any type of meaningful results, mm-hmm. this is super common early on. I went through it, you went through it, I'm sure everyone in the audience went through it or is going through it. But I feel like if you can make it through that suck, like that self-doubt, it usually hits, and it hits when like you're at your lowest. Mm. But if you can stick through that for a long period of time, then mm-hmm. I feel like anyone can make it in the end. So, I know anyone can do it because I made it through, and I'm still going through my own processes. I have a lot of setbacks and times where I'm not feeling the best, but I'm able to do what I never imagined that I'd be doing right now, just a handful of years ago. So feeling grateful and blessed to be doing what I'm able to do right now. Thanks so much. Thanks for, giving me the platform too. Definitely appreciate it. Ever since we connected, I've when you told me about your podcast, like it was years ago, I was supposed to be on it, and I'm glad I'm finally able to hop in and chat with you. And
absolutely, and this will not be the last.
About something that I've been wanting to talk about for a while. So
yeah, and just no, sharing thank you.
Back and sharing the things that I've learned over the years.
Yes, no, this, thank you so much. Being on the podcast, talking to you, like you just make everything so easy.
No, you made it easy, I gotta say that. Like, I was nervous, I was like unsure of, yeah. I was like, and especially in the beginning, I was like, I messed up my introduction, come on. So,
it's all good.
You made it easy on me.
Listen, no.
Thank you for your... Listen. Yeah.
No, this will be the first of many. I'm just going to say that now because,
I'd be happy to hop on anytime.
Absolutely. Sure. No, I will be hitting you up. So be ready.
We did talk about Clubhouse. They.
Yes. Oh, that Clubhouse would be fun. That Clubhouse. And I know Anchor has like a new app that kind of like adapts like the Clubhouse. I don't know what it's called, like, but it has like the whole Clubhouse situation where it's like you can have a room with a bunch of people in, and we
I haven't seen that yet, but I need to look into that. I was looking at the Anchor app and I didn't see its features, but maybe I wasn't looking
at it right. I don't know, they just sent it to me in an email, so I'm not sure if they've applied it already or if it's coming like within a couple of months or so, but I'm gonna definitely check out. But I know that you're a part of Clubhouse, so I don't know. Maybe you guys keep a lookout. Maybe the fashion analyst and Gentleman Within might link up on Clubhouse. You never know. So
for sure. I'm always down for clubs with dope people.
That's right. Listen, yeah. I love it. I'm here for it. Okay, so I'm not going to end it just yet because I still have one more question to ask you.
All right.
Or maybe two.
I'm game.
Okay, I have
been almost 2 hours. I'm good to go.
We are teetering almost. We're like 20 minutes short of 2 hours, but it's fine. The first question I have for you, do you have any parting words to those who are currently in the grind for either starting a business, wanting to be a blogger, wanting to be an influencer, basically just wanting to connect with other people via social media or the internet? Do you have any parting words for them?
So anyone just who wants to connect and get involved with the community?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great, sassy, adult way of saying what I just said. I love that. Yes.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's in a time of social media, it's super easy to just, you know, slide in someone's DMs, and most people are open to that. Mm-hmm. You're trying to connect with, especially those that are doing the exact same thing that you're doing. Mm-hmm. So I feel like when you want to connect with certain people, if you want to like collaborate, I feel like you need to come from a position of like adding value, because you're not going to want to reach out to like someone with a disproportionate amount of followers than you. Subscribers on YouTube, like someone who has like 1 million subscribers and I only have 20,000, like that's not going to be appropriate, especially if it's like a cold, like
right.
So if you can come from a position of like offering value first, then you know that's a way to approach it. Or get involved in the community by, I know it's tough with COVID, but whenever there's events like meeting you at PHL Bloggers or one of the Philly blog events, just going out to events like that, that's a great way to engage with those in the community that you want to be a part of. Don't be afraid to get out there. So
that's right,
definitely a really big aspect of it, because getting that that face-to-face time is way more powerful than any type of, you know, online texting, you know, correspondent. So face-to-face time is definitely the most important. So if you can do that, then try to do that.
Facts. You know, I'm trying not to interject to you what you're saying too much, but not saying that I want to interject, but you know, I'm just a very vocal person. So my like, yes, that's right. Like he's spitting like real things. Like this is real. So I'm going to relax, but like exactly what you were saying is absolutely it. I tell people constantly, people email me like with small businesses and things like that. And they're like, how do I like get my message out? How do I connect with people? How do I engage? It's like, you have to do the work, like meet people face to face, you know, connect with people, have conversations, whether it's phone, because texting and emailing and messaging is cute. But if you want something deeper than that, and let me tell you, when it comes to influencers and bloggers and such, having a deeper connection than anything virtual or social media related is going to take you further than just like, hey, I like your profile, let me send you my stuff. No, like if I know like what you're going through, I know you're a startup business, I know that you're struggling to get like people to come to your business, this is where I'm from, like this is what I'm kind of into, this is what I've been dealing with, like having a genuine connection relationship will 100% propel you further into, you know, more of a, I don't know, like more of a public setting than you just trying to save face and keep it cute and be reserved and such. I don't know if that makes sense, but I don't know. That's how I feel.
Totally.
So yes.
To add to that, I feel like you get out there, get involved in the community with the people that you want to, like the people that you most want to be like, you know, have like a people that you strive, whoever's like people's like message that resonates with you the most. Because I know when I started out, I had a select group of style bloggers that I followed religiously for years before I even became one myself. And so it's kind of like, maybe they're your idols at the time, right?
But yeah,
your idols become your rivals, and you get to right where it's like, okay, we're, you know, I'm slowly able to get on their level, maybe, you know, it just helps inspire you. But
no, that's good. And I think a lot of people kind of discredit looking at other people and being like, that's my aspiration, you know, that's not a negative, that's not something negative to feel about yourself. Like if you see someone who's doing what you want to do or aspires to do, or you aspire to be like, or if you aspire to do what they're doing, like it's okay to follow them, it's okay to say that, it's okay to be like, I really love what they're doing, I would love to do something like that. Because a lot of times people don't give credit where credit is due, and they make it seem like, oh, this is just my idea. Yeah. And it's like, no, like, it's this blogger named Mariana Hewitt. I've been following her for years. I don't follow her anymore.
Yeah.
Just because of where I am in my life, and I feel like, you know, I just don't connect with her stuff as much as I did. But when I first started blogging, girl, you couldn't tell me that wasn't my girl. You couldn't tell me anything. You know, I love her, and I still appreciate her to this day because she lit a fire under me as to what I wanted to aspire to. And I still have work to do, but still, like, that was my little shorty. Like, I loved her. Like, you know, so also acknowledging where your inspiration lies, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't discredit like where you're going or where you're trying to get to. It doesn't aspire like your vision or anything like that. But I also feel like acknowledging that type of stuff is important.
So. Yeah. Like, good artists copy, great artists steal.
Period.
Like you can acknowledge like that you were inspired by them and they motivated you maybe early on, and then it's like over time you kind of develop your own lane, your own path, and like you stop consuming all that content and kind of move on, but you don't forget the people who kind of helped you along the way. Like, you never forget that. They're the ones that guided you early on your journey.
That's it. Yeah.
Respect is always there.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. Okay. So I know a couple minutes ago we were like, oh, we've been on the phone almost 2 hours. No, we're literally approaching like 2 hours. That's so weird. I'm not going to try to keep you too much longer. I have one more question for you. And then we can end it, and then you can enjoy the rest of your night, and I'm going to get out of your hair. But I would love, 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 love to know 3 people who inspire you, whether it be Instagram, whether it be through books that you read, videos mm-hmm. that you've watched, people that you've even interacted with on a personal level. Who are 3 people that inspire you?
That's a great question. I was thinking about this actually. So the first one I would say is there's this guy called Derek Sivers. So he's an author, entrepreneur, and like, I guess you can call him like an ultra minimalist. So he travels a lot, and he's his website is just super minimal too. Anyways, mm-hmm. this guy, like, he's so kind. Like, he'll literally respond to like every email he gets, and he gets like thousands of emails a day, mm-hmm. and responds to every single one. And he usually replies to me within like a day.
Wow, really?
Yeah. But just when I was getting started with my style journey, mm-hmm. and like getting into entrepreneurship and all that, I read a book of his called Anything You Want. Mm. And so that was like a huge inspiration to me in getting started with The Gentleman Within. And so, and he just came out with a new book called How to Live, which is also really, really good.
That book sounds familiar. I feel like I've seen that book.
Yeah, it came out recently. Like, he's like independent, so he sells it like basically through himself. You can't get it on Amazon or anywhere else.
Okay.
Except through him and his website. Mm-hmm. But it's How to Live, like 23, I forget what it's called, but so it's called How to Live, 27 Conflicting Answers and One Weird Question and One Weird Conclusion.
Okay.
It's interested in that, and it's exactly what it sounds like. So he offers different, basically 27 different ways to live, that you can live life. So like, I admire him and just the way he approaches life. Like, he's just a really unique individual, mm-hmm. To the drum of his own beat kind of guy. Yeah. So he definitely inspires me for sure. The second one is like on the style end of things.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So a little known secret, but I get a lot of my fashion inspiration from the ladies, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so there's one called In the Frau on Instagram. Mm-hmm. But she does these like reels that are just like super well executed and super snappy.
Oh, okay.
I get a lot of inspiration from that, like in terms of like my TikTok and reels that I want to put out. So I just want to like basically copy her style and how she edits is super slick and smooth.
Okay. All right.
Another one is Fashion Jackson, and she's a blogger, and she's also on Instagram, mm-hmm. but I subscribed to her email newsletter actually and get all kinds of design inspiration from her. She's really big on like To Know It, I believe. But mm-hmm. she puts together like these weekly collages, where she like outfit collages, mm-hmm. like on a daily basis. Like, she'll send these emails of all of her outfits. But I don't know, that inspires me in terms of the fashion space, and it gives me lots of ideas. So you know, get your ideas from anywhere, not just
right
following other male bloggers. But yeah,
okay.
And then the last one I would mm-hmm. say is an author called Austin Kleon. He wrote 2 books that really inspired me to no end in the beginning. And we were actually talking about this earlier about like, don't be ashamed to copy those who inspire you.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff. So he wrote a book, Steal Like an Artist.
Already I'm into it.
Yes, that is a great read, because a lot of people get that imposter syndrome, or like feel like I just, there's a quote, like, if you're not stealing, you're not doing it right or something.
Yikes. I love it though.
No, I'm just saying, like, I feel like, I don't know, like, no idea is original, right?
That's true. Everything's
been done before. Like, we're just all remixing, like, putting together our own remixes with where we're getting our inspiration from. So he put together these really, like, succinct books on one of them. How to Steal Like an Artist, and then another one was called Show Your Work, mm-hmm. which I highly recommend for anyone starting out, because that's like where the imposter syndrome comes in. People are afraid to show their work, but mm-hmm. I feel like that's ultimately how, like, you're going to have to share your stuff, even if it sucks in the beginning.
Yeah, or even if you feel like it's your own personal idea, it's like, okay, cool, you have your personal idea, but someone's going to like see it and like make their own version of it, you know?
Yeah,
I think about all the different social medias, like, you know, Snapchat, you know, Instagram and Facebook has done adapted that, and then we had Vine. Let me not disrespect Vine. We had Vine, and then from Vine came like Musical.ly. Yeah, and then we had like TikTok, and then Instagram was like, oh, TikTok is thinking. Let us do what TikTok is doing.
So we're going to cop your reels. And then, exactly. And then YouTube is like, we're going to cop that and make our shorts.
Yes, in the shorts. Oh my goodness. I'm still trying to get used to the shorts for YouTube, because that's just like, what are y'all doing? This is just, for my brain, it's like, this is too much. But I mean, I can respect it. You see something that's working, is sticking with, you know, the market base, and you want to do the same thing too. And as much as people try to resist at first, because I remember people were like boycotting reels on Instagram, and now it's like everyone's doing reels. This is just like normal. But yes.
Absolutely. So yeah, that inspired me to no end. Just early on, show your work, and don't be afraid to copy what you like, because over time, that you're going to develop your own voice. So
that's it. That's right. That's so good.
Yep.
This has been such a beautiful reunion. This has been such an amazing time. This has been so encouraging and enlightening and refreshing. I don't understand why we don't do this more often. Like, this was amazing. So thank you so much for coming on this podcast, the Fashion Analyst Podcast, to share your wisdom, your knowledge, and your love, and your light, and just your personality. Like, every aspect of what we just did was phenomenal, and it was so different. So thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I don't know if you can receive, like, feel the love.
I'm feeling it.
Okay.
I'm feeling it. Yeah.
The love that I'm feeling is very deep. And I just want you to know that. Like, I'm so, 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 so grateful for you in this time together. Thank you.
For
so
sure.
Much.
Right back at you. Thank you for the opportunity and the platform to share my thoughts. And I hope that others listening are able to get some value out of this.
Absolutely. So before we let everyone who is listening go, please let us know every single avenue where we can follow you and learn more about you.
Oh yeah, anyone can just search Gentleman Within on Google, and you'll pretty much first page, you'll find all my everywhere that I'm at. So my blog will be there, YouTube channel, Instagram, Twitter, even interest.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, I feel like people are losing their flair for Pinterest, but I'm like, Pinterest is where it's at.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah.
You're into cook, like, what is it? The food bloggers are very big on.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. They're living their best life over at Pinterest.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you, thank you, thank you so much again. You know, you guys, make sure you follow Koi on Instagram and all those amazing things. YouTube specifically, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. He dropped Pinterest for a reason, so make sure you guys follow him on that.
And yeah, I mean, you guys already know where to follow me and see me. So with that being said, we'll talk to you guys on the next episode. Thank you so much for listening. Bye. All right.